Go cross thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jane. You may be seated. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God is not around to make us uncomfortable if we are doing what he has commanded us to do. God wants to love you. He does love you. He wants to love all of us. It's just that we sometimes cut ourselves off from that love by doing things he has said we are not to do, or by becoming so self-concerned or so self-loving that we don't have a place for him. And so he wants, and Paul has written about it so many different places, but he wants to be a blessing to each one of us here this morning. He does. And so as you are in the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 3 through 5. Verses 3 through 5 for 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word, to share it, to consider it, and Father, most of all, that we might apply it. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We know that it is done in love. And so, Father, thank you for loving us. Help us to experience that love and help us to share that love with others who are in our lives. May this be a time of blessing, a time of becoming aware of all that you're doing in our lives. And may we love you as you have loved us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we need to recognize all that God is doing in our lives, he's doing it to make our lives more comfortable. He is working to bring us to a place where he can bless us, a place where he can take care of us, where he can provide for us. And he does that for everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you've never accepted him as your personal Savior this morning, I would pray that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart during this service and make you aware of your need for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will open your heart to him. I did that November 5th, 1961, and I have not regretted it a single day. That was a long time ago for some of you. For some of you, it was yesterday, okay? But we are so grateful that God has loved us in a way that that we can relate to him. We can have a day-by-day, moment-by-moment relationship with him. And most of us here, I know personally, I know you are experiencing that and you are enjoying that. And you are being blessed by that kind of a relationship. And that's all we want. We don't necessarily want your money. It's nice. But we that's not what we're here for. We're here concerning your soul. And that is the thing that we must be concerned about. We are concerned about everyone's soul in this building this morning. Either it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, or it is still a part of the world and it belongs to the devil. Your choice. God does not force anyone to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. God offers Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. God offers each one of you that relationship if you will accept it. I know I've used this as an illustration before. There was a time when I was a preacher boy. I was less than a year old in the Lord, and they gave me a chance at Christmas time I was just a year old in the Lord, and at Christmas time, I was at the Detroit City Rescue Mission. There were about 400 people sitting there. They came in just to get warm and to get a free meal. They were sitting there, and I thought, I didn't know much about the Lord. I was just beginning to learn. I was just a year old in the Lord, and I hadn't understood or read all of the Bible yet. And I thought, how can I illustrate this free gift of God and how it is a free gift? And I thought, okay, there's one way I can do that. And so I took I don't know why I had one, but anyway, I had a $10 bill. And as a preacher boy, you don't have that kind of money normally. And so anyway, I took it out of my pocket and I said, okay, who would like this $10 bill? There's no strings attached. All you have to do is put your hand up and I will give it to you. 400 and some people sitting there. And I stood on a platform and nobody put their hand up. These are people coming in and off from Skid Row, people who don't have homes, people who are sleeping in the streets. You don't understand. There's no strings attached. I will give this to the first one who puts their hand up. I thought, man, I'm going to get mobbed. Nobody put their hand up. And so I got off the platform and I walked down the center aisle and I offered to individuals and they would just simply look away. And no one out of more than 400 people would take that $10 bill. So I came up, put it in the offering plate on the table in the front, and got back up on the platform. Folks, that is an illustration of the world that you and I live in. God has offered a free gift to every one of us. There is no one exempt. And he has said, all you have to do is accept it. And most of the world is not willing to do that. And so this portion of scripture that we looked at this morning, I want us to look at that a lot closer so that we might see what God's intention is for each one of you and myself. For God has a purpose for each one of us, and that he would like to see that purpose fulfilled. There is a verse that I do want to introduce also. That's Matthew 9:13. It says this, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." God would rather that every one of us would give to him our hearts and our souls rather than make atonement for sin in our life. And we all have it. But Jesus Christ came to die for that sin. He came to make an atonement, a payment, a propitiation. A lot of fancy words that we find in the Bible. But he came and paid for your and my sin. Now, I know my wife and I wouldn't go to the grocery store. Well, let's say we go to the grocery store together, which we normally do. And we get up to the checkout, and the girl checks out all the groceries, and my wife pays for it. And then say I come in behind her and say, oh, I got to pay too. Well, I want to pay for these groceries. Well, your wife's already paid for them. That doesn't matter. I just got to pay for these groceries. Does that make sense? Just as much sense as not accepting God's gift to you of his salvation, of the forgiveness of your sins. We can't pay for them. So the perfect purpose for this message is to help each one of us increase our love for God as we begin to understand how he loves us and what he is doing for each one of us. Now, there are many ways that God takes care of us. He gives us, and you may not realize it, but he gives you some of his mercy every day. Every day, he extends to you mercy. How does he do that? Well, let's say that, you know, you're getting ready to go home at the end of the day and you're really too tired to drive, but God gets you home. It's not necessarily you, it's him. He gets you home anyway. There are other ways that we can experience the mercy of God. Some of us, I don't know, some of us are a little more accident prone than others. I won't mention any names, but she's sitting at the back of the auditorium. We get home without an accident, okay? Nobody rear-ends us twice in a couple of months. That's God's mercy. The things that aren't happening to you is his mercy. And we have to understand it is him working. It's not us. We have nothing to do with it. We're just the recipients of his mercy. And he wants to give his mercy to each one of us. He really does. Most of the time, we do have a need for mercy because we've done something that we should not have done or something stupid. Okay? I do things stupid. Maybe you do things you shouldn't have done. Okay? But God, in his mercy, makes sure that the consequences are not something that we cannot handle. He does. He intervenes for us all the time. God prevents disaster from occurring in all of our lives. Well, we have things happen. But most of the time, God is there providing not just his love, because of the fact that he loves you, he provides mercy. Now, a minute or so ago, we looked at Matthew 9:13. And there's another passage in the Word that is similar to that, but it has a whole different meaning. And that would be Matthew 12:7. We looked at Matthew 9:13, now Matthew 12:7. It says something very similar, but yet quite different. Matthew 12:7 says, "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless." That's different. God wants to extend mercy to us rather than receive our sacrifices for sin. And there are times when we see people experiencing difficulties. they are in some kind of a trauma, or there is something going on in their life. And you know what we think? Wonder what they did to make God mad. When they haven't done anything. That's what the end of the verse means. We have condemned the guiltless. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And so God wants to show mercy to everybody. That includes the people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why he came and died. He came and died because God wanted to show mercy to the world. And there are people getting saved in China. There are people getting saved in India, which is a Hindu or a Muslim country. There are people getting saved all over the world, not for anything they have done, not by doing anything in particular, but they are being saved all over the world because of God's mercy. Excuse me. If AB didn't do that, I'd have to end the message right here. But, so, thank you, AB. Sometimes we see God intercede with other believers, and we think that they have done something to bring the wrath of God upon them, and that's not true. If you're a believer, you will never experience the wrath or punishment of God. He's promised that. Before this world ever existed, before there was ever an ocean or a planet called Earth, or there was space or anything else, or even stars, God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit met together to make arrangements for your salvation, knowing that you would sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they created a sin nature, and we all have one. We all have a sin nature, and that sin nature is going to try as hard as it can. It's a part of us, and once we're saved, the Holy Spirit counteracts it. But prior to the being saved, that sin nature is going to cause us to violate God's commandments and God's law. And we are going to violate it, and that's a sin, and that's the thing that we have to deal with, and that's the thing that God's mercy deals with in each one of our lives. So, God shows mercy every day that we live. Even if we're not looking, it's there. It's such a blessing. And an example most of you have probably experienced. Now, when we came here from New Jersey, we were in a church in New Jersey, we found out that Charleston has some of the worst drivers in the United States. And some of you, don't they, Faye? and so we went to Greenville on our vacation last week. We went to Greenville. And we were going from her sister, she had got us a sister there, 92 years old, good health. And so we were going from her sister's to a widow lady's house that we have known for many years. And we were going to visit her and encourage her. And I stopped at a red light, which is what you're supposed to do, by the way, in case any of you don't know, since you're from Charleston. But a red light means stop, and so we stopped. And the light turned green, I started to move, and I saw a yellow school bus coming from my right through the red light. Kids on it. And so I let it pass, and then I went ahead and started to accelerate into the lane. And suddenly, there was a car in front of us that ran the light behind the school bus and turned right across in front of us into the street that
was there.
I don't know how we missed him. I do not know. We were just so close. All of a sudden, he was there, and I was moving. You know what that was? That was God's mercy. And we all experience it every day. We might think, God doesn't care what happens to me. Yes, he does. He loves you. And he wants you to experience his mercy. He's going to take care of you. You can count on it. If you love somebody, you take care of them, don't you? He's going to do the same thing for you. He loves you more than you love anybody else. And he's going to take care of you. And so again, Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, there's already a spot in heaven reserved for you. You got a seat in the bleachers up there next to the throne. And it's got your name on it. Probably got a cushion on it too. Not a whoopee cushion, but a good cushion, okay? God loves you. God has made a place for you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you know Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know him this morning, your name may not be there. It may not be there. The only way to be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is to have Jesus Christ in your heart, to have believed on him. And that's all God's mercy. Verse 7 of Ephesians says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And that's why we're meeting here this morning, folks. We're meeting here to celebrate Jesus Christ. We're meeting here to celebrate God's love for us and to acknowledge his mercy for us. But there was another thing that was in that first verse that I mentioned, and that was the comfort. And the God of all comfort. Now, when we talk about comfort, we're not talking about a cushy couch or a recliner or maybe a nice, comfortable bed. That's not the kind of comfort. That's physical comfort. That's not the kind of comfort he's talking about. He's talking about comfort in your heart, in your soul, knowing that you are one of his children and that he is going to treat you as such and watch over you as such. Now, I've come to expect mercy from the people around me because I've experienced mercy from God, and that's not always true. We don't always get that. You don't always get that. Sometimes people don't feel like being merciful. Many people don't extend mercy because they have never experienced mercy, at least not the mercy of God. And so we have a job, you and I. We need to show the mercy of God to all the people in our lives. Because God puts the people in our lives that will respond to our showing them mercy. Well, enough about God's mercy. I want us to look at his comfort, because that is an important part of what God does for each one of us in comforting our souls. John 16, 7 through 11 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's the promise from Jesus. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does when he enters our life, he convicts us of sin. And then verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus promised his disciples that he would send a comforter. And that comforter is God's Holy Spirit. I said during the announcement time that, you know, you'll learn, if you stick around here, you'll learn our song about the family of God, but you will also learn Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, you have that fruit in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's called patience, by the way. Don't pray for it, please. And don't pray for it for me. Because Romans 5, 3 tells us, and we glory also in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So the minute you pray for somebody to have patience, God sends them tribulation. It's okay to pray that for, I almost named a name, for some of our political opponents, let me put it that way. And by the way, tonight, at the end of the service, we are going to pray for some of our governmental officials, particularly the president and his wife. So come back tonight and pray with us, because it's very important that we pray for our nation, that we pray for our church in revival, and that we pray for God's will in each of our lives. And so that's what we'll be praying for tonight. But here Jesus promised that a comforter would come. Not someone to comfort our outside, but somebody to comfort our inside. So we don't have tribulation. We don't have turmoil. We don't have worry. We don't fret about things. We trust God to provide everything that we have need of, and he will. How many of you are living in a cardboard box out in the woods? How many of you are just living in the woods? No cardboard box. We had someone come to the church this morning who's doing that. Yeah. That's what we've got the blessing box out here for, so that homeless folks can come and get food. And I noticed this morning that I guess there's no water there right now. The ladies have been putting water in there also. But this young man was very, very thirsty. He's in his probably middle 20s. Don't you think that's about the age? Living in the woods, no money, and needing help. Well, we can help him. Now, he may not want to hear about what God wants to do for him, but he's going to hear if he keeps coming here. And that's why God put us here, and that's why he put you wherever you are, is so that you can tell the people around you that God loves them. God wants to know them. God wants to save them. All they have to do is open their heart. That's all. Even the Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit brings, and it's about the seventh thing, is faith. God loves you so much that he can't trust you to have enough faith to get saved. So you know what he does? He gives it to you. You don't even have to have it yourself. He's going to give it to you, so that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Isn't that some God? And he is here. He lives close to us. He's everywhere, but he's in heaven. And Jesus is in heaven. And so because Jesus is in heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to minister to us here. Now, the people of the world do not know where to find the things that the Holy Spirit brings in the way of fruit. What would life be without them? Can you imagine if you had to live in the woods? Now, what kind of a girlfriend would you want? Jane is no longer available. Okay? Not you, Jane, but Tarzan's Jane, okay? Jane is available. This Jane is. She does a great job at the piano. She does a good job loving folks. And her husband also. We love both of them. People would do not know where to find the things that they really want. They don't know where to find comfort internally. External comfort, well, I enjoy it. I'm a little cushy, but internal comfort, knowing that God loves us, knowing that God wants to take care of us, God wants to provide for us everything that we have need of, no matter what is going around us. If you don't think that this is real, if you haven't experienced this in your own heart, you think of the people in China, meeting to worship God, meeting in illegal churches, knowing that if they are caught, they will be put in jail or worse. When they catch Christians, and I'm not saying this to be gross, I'm just saying this to give you a very small idea of what takes place in these people's lives, and they put them in prison, many times they harvest their organs for sale without any anesthetic or anything else. That's how bad it is. And these people are still willing to meet together to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and to worship together as we are doing this morning. That means something to me. That means that what we have is worth everything. And it is. You know, if you know Jesus, you have all the things that the world is seeking. You wonder why they hate you. You wonder why they persecute you. You've got what they want, but they don't know how to get it. And we try and tell them. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, brought in an article. Becky, did you bring the article in? Oh, Becky's not here. She's in. Oh, yes, she is. Okay, I thought she was in children's church. Looked right over you, Becky. Used to you sitting further back. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to see that you're making spiritual progress. You brought an article about tipping and gospel tracts. Becky has an article, and Connie and I haven't read it yet. I hope Connie still got it for me. Huh? Anyway, restaurants and servers are complaining that people are leaving them gospel tracts because many times they leave the tract and they don't leave any tip in it. If you're going to leave a tract, folks, at least show the folks you appreciate them. Put something in it, something green, okay? But that many are asking for, I guess, some kind of legislation to prevent that from happening any longer. And the article, I believe, said, if I saw it correctly, said that they're going to discontinue printing tracts. That's not true. That is not true, folks. As long as there's a church, there will be gospel tracts. And they are there for you and I to give to people. I gave out a lot of tracts on this trip. But I did leave something in the tracts, too. Okay? So, folks, we have a chance to share with the world the fact that God wants to show them mercy. He has in sending Jesus Christ. But he also wants to give them all comfort. The God of all comfort. All comfort. You can't find comfort anyplace else other than God. People are trying. They are trying to find comfort. That's why they're out in the bars. That's why they're shooting up drugs. That's why they're turning to everything else but God. And he is the only one who can give the kind of comfort they're looking for. They're not looking for a nice recliner. They're looking for peace inside. And that is something that you and I, if we know Jesus Christ, have. Because the Holy Spirit brings it with him. And when he indwells your soul, which he does at the instant you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now that last one he has a little trouble with. And that's because of you and me. Temperance. Sometimes we don't like to control ourselves. Sometimes we want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it right now. And there's a name for that. It's called sin. So every day we need to go back to the Lord. Well, God is the God of all comfort. He's also the God of mercy. And I'm gonna stop this message here. I got halfway through it. See, when I was on vacation, I was working. God was working. The Holy Spirit was working. But we're going to let me just say this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you are here this morning, if you're a lady, we'll put a lady with you, and she can show you from God's Word what you need to do to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're a man, we'll put a man with you. But we want you to have the joy that we have in knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will not only show you his mercy, he wants to give you his all comfort. So you keep that in mind. Let me just close the message with a word of prayer, and then we'll go on into the communion service. Father, thank you for giving us your word that explains how much you love us, how much you want to show mercy, how you want to comfort us. And Father, that it shows us also that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And Father, you did not leave him in the grave, but Father, you raised him on the third day to give us the promise of eternal life in him. So, Father, if there is one here who does not know you, may your Holy Spirit have his way in their heart today. And we will praise you for what you do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.